Welcome to the Lilac. I am so excited to share my guest today. Today on the podcast, I have Julie Ryan. She is a businesswoman, an inventor, author, radio show host, podcaster, and serial entrepreneur. Each week, Julie scans callers on her show, Ask Julie Ryan Podcast, which is heard by millions in over 100 countries throughout the world. She is, along with her other gifts, she is a psychic and medical intuitive, and in her words, a human MRI machine. Julie Ryan can sense what medical conditions and illnesses a person has and facilitate energetic healings. She also communicates with spirits and can scan animals, access people's past lives, and help families know how close to death someone is. She is a gift and a beautiful soul, and I loved my conversation with her. We chat everything from medical mediumship to past lives to angels to speaking with deceased pets. I cannot wait for you to meet my guest, Julie Ryan. I am a huge fan of yours. I've been a longtime listener of your show, and I just love how you just spread joy and healing to hundreds and thousands of people across the world. So the fact that you're spending this time with me, I am truly honored, and it's just such a privilege to be here with you.
Well, I feel the same about you, girl. So mutual admiration society.
Oh, okay, so if there's anybody that's listening that has no idea what a medical intuitive is, would you mind explaining what you do?
Sure. I am a businesswoman and an inventor of surgical devices sold throughout the world who learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. What that means is I can scan people anywhere in the world with their permission, of course, and it's like I'm a human MRI, Ashley. It's like I can see broken bones, torn ligaments, viral infections, bacterial infections, things like that in my mind's eye. And then I facilitate energetic healings. So I'll watch new organs get made out of stem cell energy, or I'll watch DNA get resequenced out of mutated strands of DNA that are causing cancer and other illnesses. I can see broken bones, torn ligaments, viral infections, bacterial infections, pretty much anything medical. And then once something's identified, Ashley, then it will be, we'll reverse engineer it and we'll figure out what's the cause. In the meantime, there will be an energetic healing, which is spirit working through me and with me. And my descriptions, as you know, are oftentimes really hilarious. And they're a metaphor or an analogy of what's happening in this energetic healing. And it gives us a human frame of reference for something that we don't have a human frame of reference for, energy healing, because most of us haven't experienced or witnessed it before.
Does your family use you all the time? Like, hey, Julie, can you scan me? I feel like you'd be called all the time.
Well, I do have doctors send patients to me when they can't figure out what's going on. And I also have doctors who are clients that I'll work with them on their own bodies and on their loved ones. And sometimes it's really fun, Ashley, when somebody will have a situation where there was a client who was in a car accident when she was young, like a teenager, and now she's in her 40s, and they removed her spleen after the car accident, and they told her it'd never grow back, but not to worry about it, she'll be okay. Well, we regenerated a spleen, we spirit working through me and with me and her, and I'll say more about that in a second, but she had to have a CT scan or an MRI done for something else. And it showed that her spleen had completely grown back within a year after that healing happened. And sure, wow. Her doctors kept saying, this is impossible. There's no way that this is even possible for this to have happened. And she said to me, she said, I have the x-rays to show it. Ugh. But everybody heals themselves. And to your point, yes, energy healing's been around since the beginning of time. And as we've become more well-educated and more proof-based, I think we want validation. We want proof that this is really working. So this gal who got a new spleen and had the x-rays to prove it, that was good enough for her doctors to say, wait a minute. Maybe there was some mistake. Maybe the films got messed up or something. Also, I think it's really important to mention that nobody heals anybody else. No doctor, no medical provider, no healer, no shaman ever heals anybody else. We heal ourselves. And if you think about it, here's my favorite example. When somebody has surgery, the surgeon at the end of the procedure will close the incision with surgical staples and sutures. The surgeon doesn't make the patient's skin grow back. The patient makes their own skin grow back. And I think that's a great example of how we heal ourselves. And the healings all happen on the energetic level, and then they integrate into the body.
I love how you say that everything can be healed. It's really empowering to those people like me who have, I have an autoimmune disease, and I've been told that it's inevitable that I will be on really harsh medication and it's only a matter of time and I can't heal this and I can't. And I just, my inner guidance is just always says, no, that just, I just don't believe that. And I love that you're advocating for that in the world, that you can heal yourself. Can you speak more to that?
Sure. Yeah, everything can be healed, Ashley. I work with people from all over the world that have all kinds of really serious medical conditions. And some of them have been told, like you, there just isn't any way to cure that. And that's not what I see. The body has a tremendous capacity to heal. And our natural state is one of homeostasis or health. And I find that if we get out of the way and we let the body do what it knows to do, it'll take over and it will heal. Oftentimes, the healing will involve Western medicine or Eastern medicine, as we know it, acupressure, acupuncture, and then Western medicine, sometimes surgery or medication, or got a broken leg, you know, go get a cast put on it to help it heal. And that's, I call that some type of complementary situation to the healing, but your leg's going to heal on its own, even if you get a cast put on it. It's perhaps going to be a little straighter if you have a cast on it, but it's the body really knows what to do.
I love that. I love that there's an intelligence to the body that we have discounted sort of in modern medicine, that we have this intelligence, you know, we need to speak to our bodies. I've learned that the hard way, from speaking unkindly to my body, how detrimental that is to your health, you know?
Well, not only that, but Western medicine is, I believe that 99.999999% of the medical providers are doing what they truly believe is best for the patient, for their patient. And it's how they were trained. It's what they were taught. It's what they've witnessed in their practice within the confines of what they prescribe a remedy to a situation would be. And also, I know that sometimes it threatens physicians and other medical providers when their patients don't follow what they're suggesting, because the patient doesn't believe that it's in their best interest to do that. I was talking with a client yesterday who is a cancer survivor, and she said that her oncologist, she just went for a consult with this doctor, got in her face and was screaming at her and said, "You're going to die and you're making a mistake and you need to do what I'm telling you to do," and all of that. And she laughed and she said, "It doesn't feel right. And so therefore, I'm not going to do it." And the key is for us to follow our guidance. When something feels wrong, you have reservations about it, just there's just something that doesn't feel right about it, pay attention to that and do more research. See what else you can find out. You're being led with those emotions. I always say, Ashley, if something feels neutral or good, then you're in alignment with your spirit and you're being led. When something feels badly, it warrants investigation. Is this a real fear or is this a fake fear? If it's a real fear, change the conditions. If it's a fake fear, investigate it more, find more information so you can make a decision that feels neutral or good.
Yeah, it's so true. Your intuition is such a gift, and it's the quiet voice. You know, it's not the it's the quiet voice. It's not the one that's screaming in your head for me. It's the one that's sort of like, it's a gentle, my intuition is a gentle part of myself.
Exactly. Spirit's always going to send love. That's all spirit knows how to do. Our spirit, our deceased loved ones, our spirit guides, our angels, God, the universe, not necessarily in that order of, of importance. But the interesting thing to remember is that spirit knows how to do one thing, and that's send love. It's kind of like the sun. The sun does one thing. The sun shines. Sun doesn't care if it's snowing where you are, if it's raining where you are, if you're inside or outside, the sun's just going to shine, period. And that's what spirit is. Spirit sends love. So when we have feelings that are out of alignment, they're going to feel badly. And that's not coming from spirit. That's coming from our fear. Mm-hmm. So we need to stop and say, okay, is this a real fear or is this a fake fear?
I've come to believe everything is like energy, right? So that thoughts are energy. So it's a vibration, right? It's like a dense lower vibration or a high vibration. And source, God, universe, all of those, it's such a high vibration that we can connect when we are vibrating at that level. That's how I've interpreted it for myself. I would love for you to explain, your practice.
Perfect interpretation you have, my dear.
Okay.
Spirit doesn't communicate on the I feel crappy channels because the vibration's too low. And so what we want to do is we want to be able to get out of that. And you're absolutely right. Everything is a vibration. Everything's a frequency. Everything has a frequency. And thoughts, Ashley, don't originate in our heads. They originate in the ethers. And we pull them in based on what we're thinking about at any given time. Mm-hmm. And they're broadcast on something similar to a radio station. You know how you can be listening to classic rock on 92.5 megahertz. That's the frequency on which that music is being broadcast. And if you want to listen to classical, like Beethoven music, you change the channel to 102.5. And that's the frequency on which that music's being broadcast. Thoughts are the same way. And we all experience having a thought, and then we'll have another thought, another thought, another thought. And it's like being broadcast on the same radio station. And before long, we've had all these thoughts and we're just in this black hole and we feel awful. Mm. Well, those are all thoughts that we're bringing in that aren't real, but they feel real. Thoughts don't have... they don't have any significance unless we give it to them. So I have this little technique that I teach, and I know you know this, but if I may share it with your listeners,
please.
It's called the 2-minute rule. The 2-minute rule goes like this. Emotions are an internal GPS system that we all have. And when we have a thought that feels neutral or good, we're in alignment with our spirit. When we have a thought that feels badly, we're out of alignment. It's based in fear, either a rational fear, something's going to harm us or kill us, change the conditions, or an irrational fear, which is fake, it's false, it's based on a limiting belief that's false, and it's rooted in an irrational fear that's false. So how you change the channel is you just ask, is this going to kill me in the next 2 minutes? I call it the 2-minute rule. Is this going to kill me in the next 2 minutes? The answer is yes. Get out of the road before the bus runs you over. If the answer is yes, get out of the street. If the answer is no, then you know that's an irrational fear and it warrants more investigation.
Yeah, I love that. So I had a really beautiful experience with you a couple weeks ago, and you identified in my own health that I had mold exposure. And at the time I was like, I don't know where I would have had mold exposure. And I'm going to look more into that. That's really, really interesting. That was actually a root cause for a lot of my inflammatory issues, which I'd never heard before for myself. So I immediately came off the phone call with you, Julie, and I called my mother and I was like, hey, mom, was there any time, I lived in a 100-year-old home growing up, and was there any time that we had mold in my house? And she's like, funny you say that. Actually, your closet had mold while you were growing up.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we tried to deal with it, but, you know, it's an old home and we kind of just painted over it. And so a huge aha moment, like those are those validations that are just like, there's no way on earth, Julie, that you could have known that. Like, there's no way I knew that. So it's such a beautiful validating thing. And I don't know, it's just magic. It's just, it's absolute magic when you can actually prove the consciousness. You are all the way in. Are you, you're in the Southern United States, like you are an entirely different place than me. And yet you can tap into my spiritual body and understand it at a deep level. Is just so amazing.
Well, it's like I have a big screen TV in my head, Ashley. And when I got your body on my radar, it was as if I was looking at a hologram of you, and I'm able to do, imagine the analogy of I'm a human MRI. So I could see in my mind's eye the mold in your body. And then we cleared it out. And I said, you've been exposed to mold. And the thing about having mold in a home, whether it be an old home or whether you've had a water leak and it's unbeknownst to you, is it gets in the walls. So you can't see it. But oftentimes you can smell it. Or you get symptoms, your symptoms are classic mold exposure symptoms.
Right.
So I wasn't surprised when I saw that, when I got you on my radar, which just means I'm looking at this hologram of you in my mind's eye. And it's interesting how it works, Ashley, because the energy always goes where it's most needed first, and something will be identified, and then there'll be some type of energetic healing that will begin. And that can take the form of something getting added, something getting removed. I watch procedures all the time in my mind's eye that emulate what I saw in operating rooms for surgeries for many decades. I was in that business for 30 years, the hospital supply industry. Sometimes I see healings that utilize methodologies and devices that haven't been invented yet. And regardless of what I'm seeing in my mind's eye, the healing's going to happen as it's going to integrate into your body, and that can transpire instantly. It can take days, weeks, months. It may need some kind of complementary care, like get some medicine or remediate the mold in your home or something along those lines. But
yeah, and I really love that you have this background in inventing surgical devices. You have this sort of medical knowledge, and you ended up growing into metaphysics later in your life. I love the place where metaphysics meets science, and where scientists and doctors and neuroscientists and physicists and biologists, serial entrepreneurs like yourself, start delving into the world of metaphysics, and they validate like universal consciousness. And this is exactly what the world needs to help make it relatable to the pragmatic mind, right?
Well, yeah, you're much more gracious about it. I always say I love it when science catches up with woo-woo, because the woo-woo has been around for forever.
Yeah.
And again, back to that, as we've become more well-educated, we want to see scientific proof for things. And And you're right, more and more of it is coming out every day. And it's fun. You can put somebody like me in a physics lab, and the physicist can measure the frequency at which the energy I'm sending is resonating with the equipment in the lab. It's pretty fascinating.
Yes, it's so nice. it's so nice to see this science community. Well, I don't know how much they're embracing it, but just to see these glimmers of these really reputable scientists around the world that are starting to validate it. Just starting to, instead of it just completely being ignored as, oh, it's just woo-woo. And I don't think woo-woo is a bad term. I think it's short for wonderful. So it's double wonderful, woo and woo.
Well, and I think sometimes people get so serious about all this woo-woo stuff and spiritual stuff. And I have a ball with it. I think it's really fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's pure joy. It's pure love. And when we get so serious about it, being so serious isn't very fun. And when we're in alignment, we're either feeling neutral or good. But I think when people get so serious, it almost feels a little foreboding, like, oh, I'm not smart enough for this to work with me. Well, we all do it all day long. We're just not aware of it. We're all talking with spirit all day long. We're all following advice, following guidance we get, whether it's make a bagel for breakfast or eat a bowl of oatmeal. You know, that's all guidance. What's going to be best for us? What do we want to do? And we're just unaware that that's really coming from our internal selves, or also known as our spirit.
Yeah, I'm of the belief too that we come here uninhibited. We come here really tapped in. My eldest daughter was very tapped in when she was little. She was able to communicate with her father-in-law, who passed away, her grandpa, right when he passed, you know, and would bring us information all the time. It's like we just learn to block ourselves. We learn to limit ourselves. How did you decide to go into metaphysics? Was it something you're already into?
No. I laugh. I say, I'm not a psychic who had dead people chasing her since childhood. Or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. I learned how to do all this stuff, Ashley, and now I teach people around the world how to do it. And about 30 years ago, a friend gave me a book by an author named Carolyn Mace, and it's called Anatomy of the Spirit. And she calls herself a medical intuitive. And I thought, what the heck is that? I had never heard that term before. And so I read her book and I wanted to know more. And back then we didn't have the internet yet. So I did the old fashioned thing and I went to a bookstore and I looked to see if there was anything else available about the topic. And I found a book called Hands of Light by Barbara Brennan.
Oh, yes. Who's a familiar.
Former NASA physicist who has parlayed 40 some years ago. She wrote the book and she has parlayed very complex quantum physics information into understandable languages for those of us that don't have a scientific mind. And after reading that book, I was intrigued and wanted to know more again. And so I called her school. She had a school at the time. And I called her school and I said, do you have any graduates teaching in my area? And lo and behold, there was a woman. And I studied with her for 6 years and paid the equivalent of what it would have cost to get a PhD or an MD.
So very appreciative of every single one of you that takes the time to listen to this podcast. And to show my appreciation to all of you, I've created a giveaway. Anyone who rates the podcast and writes a review will be entered into a draw to receive a free distance Reiki healing session, chakra balancing, and oracle card reading with me. All you need to do to be entered is to take a screenshot of your review and email me, message me, DM me on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok, and you will be entered into the contest. Oh, I can't wait to see who wins. So keep on blossoming, my beautiful souls. And now back to this week's episode.
So you had a beautiful interview. I loved this episode of yours, and it was with Dr. Christopher Kerr, the palliative care doctor and end-of-life researcher. where he studied and interviewed 1,400 patients' experiences pre-death. And I love how it coincides with your work. And would you mind talking about that?
Sure. When somebody is dying, we go through this series of events, Ashley, that I call the 12 phases of transition, in which we're surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets. And the configuration of all of those entities changes as the person gets closer and closer to departing. Mm. And I can scan somebody anywhere in the world and hook into it's my spirit's energy connecting into their spirit's energy. I raise my vibrational level. I turn my abilities on and off at will. I don't walk around scanning people because I just don't think that would be very ethical. And it's none of my
business. Very popular.
Well, yeah, it's none of my business and I don't really want to know. Can you imagine going into a group of like a big gathering of people and going, okay, that one's got this. This one's got that.
That's too much information.
Oh, yeah, exactly. TMI. So I can connect with somebody's spirit and I can tell what phase of transition they're in. And the way that it works is there are these circles. There's this circle of angels that opens up into a horseshoe and eventually a straight line across the foot of the bed of the person who's dying as they approach death. And I think it's important too to mention that everybody goes through these 12 phases of transition, regardless of how they die. It can happen instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, in an instant death, or it can happen over days, weeks, months, years. And time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Time is a human creation. So it's feasible that 100 lifetimes of 100 years apiece may not even be a blip on the radar screen in heaven. And so everybody goes through these 12 phases. And the body exits through the top of the head, and it forms what I call a spirit bubble. Looks like a caption bubble in a cartoon where the cartoon character's words or thoughts are. And then it hangs on to the head attached. And then as the person is getting closer and closer to death, in about phase 9, between phase 9 and 10, there's a vortex that forms above this spirit bubble, and it has an upward pull to it, and it is what helps the body separate from the spirit. And the fun thing about it is, halfway through the phases of transition, there are two additional angels that show up, and they're on either side of the spirit bubble, and their wings start to move. And it reminds me of a giant owl. If you've ever seen a documentary on owls, their movement is very rhythmic and slow, but it's, you can almost feel the drag when you see those giant wings, you know, moving silently. And that's what the angel wings reminded me of first time I saw it, which was with my own mother when she was dying. So when I was writing my book, Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition from This Life to the Next, I just did an internet search for kicks on owl wings vortex. Well, come to find out, Ashley, there's this phenomenon called the wingtip vortex. And if you do an internet search on that, it's limitless articles and aeronautical engineering drawings and all these references to the wingtip vortex, which is a funnel, like a vortex that is beneath the wings of anything that flies, whether it be a bird, a bug, a plane, a jet, a kite, whatever. And it causes the lift. And so once again, isn't that fun when woo-woo, you know, is always been there and science catches up with it?
Oh man, I just find it magic.
Yeah.
It's just like realizing you're getting your owl letter from Hogwarts.
Exactly. Good analogy. So back to Chris Kerr, Dr. Chris Kerr, he is the director of a very large hospice facility in Buffalo, New York, and he's done university-based research and you mentioned earlier, with 1,400 patients. Mm. And his research shows that close to 90% of his patients at the end of their lives report seeing the spirits of deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets, either in visions or dreams. So that is one example of the scientific research that's been done that validates and corroborates what I see with the 12 phases of transition. Furthermore, since the beginning of time, once again, I believe people have been able to see this because at the end of every Roman Catholic funeral, I was raised Roman Catholic, there is a prayer called In Paradisum, which is Latin translated into paradise. And it talks about how the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. Well, that's what I see with the 12 phases. And so, again, when I was writing the book, Ashley, I did some research to see when did that originate and where. And I learned that it began as a 5th century Gregorian chant. And perhaps it took till the 5th century till somebody was well-educated enough that they could read and write and write a prayer or a chant, which is a form of a prayer, about this. And certainly some of the most learned people were men back in that time, and they were living in monasteries and synagogues. So again, people have been able to see this. And as we've become more well-educated, I think a lot of that has fallen by the wayside. But the reason why it resonates so much with people when they hear it is because their spirit has known it for forever. And you know, as humans, we'll hear something and we'll be like, okay, well, I don't know that that makes sense intellectually, but it feels right. Well, we have an innate knowing, an innate ability to know what's accurate.
Mm-hmm. A deep inner knowing.
Exactly.
Yes, that we're not actually, I really hope that we learn as a culture of humans to teach that. What a different society we would be if we were really tapped into our higher self as a collective. And I am hopeful that we're going in that direction. I have great hope, but especially for people like you, you know, bridging that gap and creating that creating that awareness for people that it might not even come into their realm of possibility.
Well, each generation that comes in, and you have little children, each generation that comes in is more advanced than the previous one or ones. And a great example of that is, my guess is your children know how to use an iPad and an iPhone probably way better than you before they can even talk. Some of them before they can even walk. It blows my mind when I see toddlers who aren't understandable yet. They can't even speak English yet or whatever their main language is, but they know how to navigate an iPod. Or an iPad, not an iPod. And I'm dating myself, an iPad. And I think, how do they know how to do that? I don't even know how to do that very well. And they just zip around there. Did you experience that with your kids? That it's like they all come in and they have this technological skill that, you know, that you and I especially, because I'm a lot older than you, I'm going, okay, how do you do this?
Yes, yeah, so they just have this, this permeability to be able to just learn so quickly too, and just adapt. So you help facilitate communication for families, like with people that are in comas and Alzheimer patients. Do you have any stories about that? I think that is what a gift for a family to be able to know that they can actually advocate for their family members when they don't have that communication.
Yeah, a couple of stories. One I just had earlier this week, and the loved one had already passed a couple of weeks ago. It was her husband and her daughter were on the phone with me, and we were getting information from her just to help comfort her family who she had left behind. And she kept talking about graham crackers, Ashley, and I thought, graham crackers? And I don't edit anything that I get when I get it from Spirit, because I figure, who in the heck am I to decide what you need to hear? And I'm just the facilitator. I'm just the messenger here. You know, I'm the conduit that spirit's working through. So she kept talking about graham crackers. And I asked them, I said, okay, her name was Becky. I said, Becky's talking about graham crackers. Does that mean anything to you guys? And the husband said, yeah, she used it every day for her snack. She would eat a graham cracker with Nutella spread on it. And he said, and just this morning, I moved two boxes of graham crackers that were unopened to a lower shelf in the pantry because I don't eat them. So I have to figure out if I'm going to keep them or give them to somebody or whatever. And that's a way that spirit will communicate. That was just one of many things that she had to say. But it'll come in and it'll be random. And I'll think, really? Graham crackers? You want me to talk to them about graham crackers? And I did. And then that provides so much comfort for them, Ashley, because they know that's their mom.
Yeah. Because there's no way you could know about the graham crackers. No, like, those are those things that are really validating, right?
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. And I have stories, you know, till the end of time I can share with things that spirit has told us when I'm talking with their deceased loved ones who are left. And some of them are really hilarious. One was a young gal who'd lost both of her parents, I think within 6 months. And she had their ashes and she said, I don't know what to do with them. We never talked about it. I don't know where they want them to be scattered. And so we asked them and I heard Yosemite National Park, which is here in the U.S. And I this gal lived in Boston. So Yosemite is close to, you know, it's right next to California. And I said, they're saying Yosemite. And she burst into tears. And I thought, oh no, I've offended this woman. And she said, that's where they were married.
So oh, I said, my gosh. Oh,
there you go. So those are two examples. An example of communicating with somebody when they're dying and unable to converse. Two quick stories. One, I was working with a family in Greece, in Athens, Greece. And the man who was dying, the husband who was dying, was a retired admiral in the Greek Navy. And he had not been able to communicate for, I think, a couple of weeks. And so I asked, I always ask everybody when they're dying telepathically, this is, I'm speaking with them, my brain to their brain, kind of like on Star Trek, you know, how they communicate telepathically. Yes. The aliens do. Yeah. So that's how spirits communicate. It feels like a thought in your head when you get their answer. So I said to this admiral, I said, are you ready to go? These are the three questions I always ask. Are you ready to go? Are you in pain? What do you need? He said, I need to talk to my sister. And I said to his wife, who was on the phone with me, I said, he wants to talk to his sister. Is she close by? And she said, no, she lives in Australia. I said, all right, well, get her on the Zoom or the Skype or something and the FaceTime so that he can talk to her. And the wife said, well, he can't talk. And I said, no, but he can hear. So they did that. And then he passed the following day. It was so sweet.
And what a gift to be able to do that for that family, yeah, too. And for him to be able to absolutely finally get the thing that he needed to have a peaceful transition.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then my all-time favorite story is about an elderly gentleman who was a retired dentist, and he was in the hospital and they had him on a ventilator. They took him off. They thought he would die within a few minutes. Well, 2 weeks later, he's still hanging on. And his daughter talked to me several times and he kept saying, you know, I asked him my questions. Are you ready to go? Are you in pain? What do you need? And he kept saying, I need them to file my quarterly estimated taxes. I need them to mail them. And the daughter kept saying, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The man's dying. What the heck is he doing worrying about his taxes? So after 2 weeks, she calls me and she said, oh, for God's sakes, what does this man need to just go? It's craziness. And so I asked him and he said, I need her to mail my quarterly estimated taxes. So I said to him, where are they? Because she said, I don't even know where to begin to look for them. And he told us they're in my desk. It's like the middle drawer on the left. Apparently his desk was in his bedroom. I said, just go to his home, see if they're there. If they are, drop them in the mailbox. I mean, you don't have anything to lose. So actually she gets to his house and sure enough, the taxes are filled out, the check's written, they're signed, they're in the envelope, the envelope's stamped, the whole nine yards, ready to go. So she seals the envelope, she drops it in the mailbox on her way back to the hospital. He died within a matter of a few hours.
Wow.
Come to find out, she was the executor of his fairly sizable estate. And by the taxes having a postmark on the day he died or before he died, it saved her a lot of headaches as she was settling his estate.
Oh, wow. So there was a purpose for it.
There was a purpose. There always is. Yes.
Wow.
But I'll hear things like, and there are several stories in my book about families with whom I've worked, and some of them will ask for chocolate or magazines or a sweater or a blanket, or they want to see somebody. It just really runs the gamut of whatever somebody needs. But we can communicate with them, and even specifics of, do you have a will? Where is it? Well, it's in this bank on the corner of Lane Avenue and North Star. And it's this branch of this bank, and it's box number or whatever. And here's where the key is. And yeah, we can get specific information sometimes, even down to that detailed.
That's amazing. That's just amazing. You also speak to past lives as well, along with all your other buffet of psychicness. Do you want to speak about past lives and how and why this is important for people to know?
Yeah, past lives are so much fun, Ashley. Oh my gosh, they're one of the most fun things I get to do. And it's all fun. It's all just a blast. Well, you know that. We've had a private session, and it's fascinating and it's fun and we laugh a lot. And people think, oh, it's very serious. It's not. Even if you've got something really seriously wrong with you, everything's healable. Everything's workable. It's all. And caveat, sometimes the healing is death. Sometimes the spirit just wants to transition and go back to heaven and dream up another adventure and come back and get reincarnated. So past lives are interesting because oftentimes they can give us clues as to why we feel the way we do about things, or is there a pattern of something that is happening in our lives that we don't understand? My favorite story about that is I have a client who is a flight attendant. And she said, I choose these men that are unavailable my whole life. You know, these guys seem great and then they're unavailable. And I want to be married, or I want to be in a long-term committed relationship. And I've just had this block my whole life. So she said, do I have any past lives in which there's some kind of a correlation? And so we did this past life scan of her, and I'll explain how that works in a second. But we saw a lifetime of hers in when she lived in Kyoto, Japan as a geisha. And it was the late 1800s. And if you know anything about geishas, they have sponsors who are men most of the time, if not all of the time, they're married. Mm-hmm. And they come and they visit the geisha. Yeah. And they'll bring clients or they'll do whatever, especially back in the, you know, the 1800s and older. And she gasped when I said that. And I said, what? And she said, well, first of all, I flew with ANA Airlines for years. And that's the All Nippon Airlines, the Japanese airline. And she said, my training was in Kyoto, Japan. And she lived in London at the time. So she said, I'd never been to Japan before. And when I got there, everything felt so familiar. I mean, it was almost like I knew where I was going and I recognized things. And she said, my first day in the training, we were in the cafeteria for lunch. And she said, I'd never even picked up chopsticks, let alone tried to use them. And she said, they didn't have any forks or spoons or any utensils. All they had were chopsticks there. So she said, I picked them up and I used them better than the girls that had used them their whole lives. And they were all saying, well, how do you know how to use these? And I said, I have no idea. And I said, well, now you know. Well, long story short, since that time, she's met somebody, she's been in a serious, committed relationship, and her life has really changed by just knowing this is where that line of thinking came from at least one, perhaps multiple lifetimes. And it doesn't need to have any effect on her anymore, because once we illuminate it, it eradicates any energy that's connected to it.
Joe, you have a call-in show, and they call with a plethora of things, like talk to my dog that passed away. And, you know, how do you see past lives? How is that different than anything, all the other information that you receive?
Great question. Most past life work is done using regression, where somebody will be hypnotized or regressed, and then they'll witness what their past life is. I do it differently. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, entrepreneurs just kind of have their own way of doing things. I can't help myself. So how it comes in for me, Ashley, is I envision myself in this endless hallway and very large ceilings, very tall ceilings, very narrow. So on the walls are these big square mirrors lined up perfectly, both horizontally and vertically. And each mirror represents a different lifetime. So we'll ask a question, like on this geisha situation, does this gal have any past lives in which something happened that's causing her to choose men that are unavailable? And the ones, the lifetimes that resonate with that question will come out from the wall as if they're on a hydraulic arm. And then I'll say, show me the one that resonates the most. And that one will come out the furthest. And then I'll envision being in front of that mirror and walking into it, kind of like Alice in the Looking Glass, you know, in Alice in Wonderland, she walks through that, and I'll walk into the mirror, and it will be as if I'm in a movie scene, and I'll be told where it is, when it was, a little bit about what happened in it. It will be as if I'm watching a clip of a movie, a scene from a movie. And then I'll ask spirit, how does this resonate or correlate with what my client is going through at this time in their life? And I'll get information. I call those divine downloads, when I just get information in my head, and it will be, well, this person, you know, did this, and this is what's going on in their life. Again, I have no clue this is happening in their life, but I'll say, does that make sense to you? And invariably, the answer will be yes. So it's really fun, because oftentimes we can get information that we're able to corroborate with historic documents that we can access online. And that leads people, I think, to even explore it further. They're led to something perhaps that they read, or they're, you know how you're on one website and you are led to another site and another site and another site and another site. Before you know it, you don't even remember how you got there from seven sites ago. But that's how it works. And it's fascinating to see how it really helps people heal, I'm using air quotes here, blocks, emotional blocks.
I love that. I love you really make, because when I've always been interested in metaphysics, and I've always been interested in mediumship and all of the stuff. But it was always this divide of like, you were born this gifted person, and da da da. You really show that it is something that can be learned, that it is something that you can learn to do. It's a skill that all humans can do. And you actually speak a lot on your show, and you show people how they can speak to their own loved ones. Would you mind sharing that?
Sure. Yeah. We all come in with the ability, and we dumb it down at the age of about seven or so, which is why I wrote my children's books. 'Cause I had so many moms say, please help me figure out how to explain this to my child. And so it's super easy. We do it all day long. We're just not aware we're doing it. Everybody can do it. Everybody does do it. Here's how it works. You ask a question or make a statement to somebody who's deceased, any spirit, a spirit that's attached to a body. They don't have to be dead. They can be attached to a body. That's how I do the medical scans. That's how I communicate with people telepathically who are alive. And you just ask a question or make a statement, and then they're going to answer you, and it's going to come in like it's a thought in your head, and it'll come in instantly, as fast as you can snap your fingers. If you think about it for more than a couple of seconds, that's going to be your brain talking to you.
Right.
And that's not going to be what Spirit's communicating to you. Spirit wants to be involved in our lives. They're around us all the time, but they're not going to interfere. However, if we ask for their help or their assistance, they are Johnny on the spot. They are right there to help. And the other thing I think that's interesting to note too, Ashley, is that you can communicate with anybody you want, whether you knew them or not. You got a math problem and you want to communicate with Einstein or Tesla or some brilliant scientist or engineer, or you want to talk to somebody about how to do something, or you're interested in classic literature and you talk to, you want to talk to an author who's very famous that you didn't know. All you have to do is think of them. Who do you want to talk to? Moses or Aristotle, whoever, Plato. You just think of them. And then that connects our head. Our heads are big satellite dishes, Ashley. That connects our head to their frequency, because every spirit has a frequency they keep throughout all their lifetimes. And when we think of somebody, that connects our satellite dish head to their frequency. Back to that radio station analogy we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. That's how easy it is. And it's just, if you're doing something random, like fixing dinner or folding laundry or on a walk, whatever, and a deceased loved one comes into your head, the thought of a deceased loved one, or somebody you didn't know. Again, Moses comes into your head. You're walking down the street and you're thinking of Moses in the burning bush. You're thinking, what's up with that? That's Moses letting you know his spirit's around you. That's your loved one letting you know their spirit's around you. And then anytime you want to have a communication with them, you just think of them and they immediately come in.
Thank you for sharing that, because so I'm a developing medium, and I guess that I'm coming out with it right now, because I don't talk about it, but the messages come in as my own voice, you know. And that was the thing that I had a hard time with, was like, oh no, that's just my imagination, my really wild, crazy, I'm an artist, you know, I was in musical theater for my living for many years. So it's like, oh, it's just my imagination. And my logical mind needed these validations, these really clear things that it's like, it's not just you. It's something that is coming through you. It's something that is speaking to you, you know. And I just love how clearly you explain that. It really helped me with my own journey. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And the more you do it, the more validation you're going to get for the information you receive. And then you're going to learn to trust it more. And the more you trust it, then you just do it and it's second nature. I do it all day long. We all do it all day long. I'm just conscious of it. Most people are not. Excuse me. And so that turns us into what I like to say is a conscious creator instead of an unconscious creator, just having life happen. When we consciously create, we're paying attention to what our thoughts are and we're staying focused on what our thoughts are. Unlike what a lot of people teach, which is you send that love and you watch it fade away. Well, you're still on the same darn frequency. You got to change the channel. And the 2-minute rule helps you change the channel.
It does. Yeah. And in a really clear way. You're really great at like making it just really applicable to everyone, you know, that it isn't this unachievable thing. You know, that it's fully achievable for any person to speak with their loved ones, or, you know, and I want to share that more. I want to show that we can, that we're just greater than we have any awareness of, you know?
Well, an example of that, Ashley, is, you know, how in the old master's paintings of somebody who was a holy person, whether it be God or Jesus or a saint or the Virgin Mary or Buddha or whomever, they're often depicted with a halo around their head or around their whole body. Well, guess what? That's their spirit. That's their aura. That's their energy field. Everybody has one. We're all holy people. It's just that back in the day, those painters, the Leonardo da Vinci's and before, they could see the auras around people. So that's why they painted them. And then it just became, oh, this is a holy person. Mm-hmm. And we all have that. Any Carillion camera that takes a picture of us will show our aura. Mm-hmm. A-U-R-A, our aura. It's hard to say fast three times. And so what does that mean? That means we're all made in the image and likeness of God. I believe in spirit form. Mm. And our aura is a great example of that halo that's depicted around what we would consider to be holy people.
I have a religious background, and the belief around speaking with spirit is there's evil spirits. And what do you say around that topic?
Well, there are no such things as evil spirits.
Thank you.
All spirits go to heaven. There is no hell. And it's all been concocted by civilizations and religions throughout the ages to control people. Because what's the best way to control somebody? With fear. Mm. Well, certainly we've witnessed that in the past couple of years with all this global pandemic stuff.
You know, the duality.
Oh my goodness. Just, yeah. You know, you've got to stay home. And if you don't do that, wear the mask. Don't wear the mask. Get the shot. Don't get the shot. Stay home. Don't stay home. I mean, it's just been
fear.
Craziness. And people are in fear. Mm. And so people are able to be controlled when they're in fear. And that's a big concept for most people who've been brought up in a religion. Certainly I was. And it's a big concept to try and grasp that hell really doesn't exist. But it's, you got to remember that it's how people have interpreted things throughout the ages too. And we're going to have a perspective based on our human frame of reference. So the Bible and all the holy texts that are out there, they're parables. They're examples of things that will give us a way of understanding. And a lot of it has been changed throughout the generations to go in line with what whoever was in power wanted people to think. So I think it's important for people to, That's my interpretation. It's very rare, but on a couple of occasions in my life, since I've been doing this woo-woo stuff, people will say, well, you have to prove it to me. And I was like, well, no, really, I don't. If you want to talk about it, great. If you don't, let's talk about whatever you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I don't need anybody to believe this. I don't feel like I need to prove it to anybody. I'm happy to work with you. I'm happy to help you. There are lots and lots of validators that I can cite. But it's funny when I say that to people, I'll say, well, maybe this just isn't for you. And then they'll come back fast most of the time. And they'll say, well, no. I want to talk more about it. They're interested. They're just afraid of it.
Yeah. It's fear.
Yeah.
Which is the lower vibration.
Exactly.
My experience with, delving into my spirituality and meditation and that whole woo-woo world that I've been in for a decade now, I feel so much closer to God in my everyday life than I have ever spent, in a church when I was younger. And due to the fact that there was this moment, I was in musical theater. I had a lot of friends who were gay, and they really had so many struggles when it came to religion and this duality, this that us and them thing that really, really gave me a hard time with my religion. I had to come to this point of this isn't resonating anymore. And the Jesus that I knew, it wasn't didn't judge, it was pure love. The God that I know is pure love. That I feel it was like an evolution, and it's not based in fear. It's not something I want in my energy field anymore.
Well, exactly. And back to Dr. Kerr, he did a TED Talk, and it was about how our deceased loved ones are around us at the end of life. And he said, I did it to appeal to the medical community. He said the medical community wasn't interested, but he got, I think he's had 3 million or more views on his TED Talk. But he said, within a couple of weeks, we had 5,000 comments. He said, so this really resonated with people from around the world. And then the other thing that I like to mention about people who say, well, you know, that's just the devil and you don't need to be talking to spirits and all of that. A couple of times I've had conversations with people who've said that, and I'll say, okay, yeah, I understand your point of view. Do you pray? And they'll say, of course I pray. And I'll say, great. To whom do you pray? It'll be Jesus, the Virgin Mary, a saint, whomever. I'll say, oh. So when you're praying, do you consider yourself talking with Jesus? And they'll say, yes. And I'll say, and you're asking Jesus for things, or you're asking Jesus' help or something along those lines. Yes. And I'll say, well, is Jesus sitting next to you on the couch when you're talking to him in body form? And they'll say, well, no. And I'll say, so you're praying to a spirit? You're talking with a spirit? And they'll say, oh, well, that's not the same thing. I'll say, oh, but it is. And then, you know, limiting beliefs are not enough information. They hadn't thought of it that way. This is a different perspective.
Yeah.
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 And they get it.
We have control over what we, you know, it's just like that. I allow information for my highest and greatest good, and for, you know, the highest, greatest good of everyone I interact with. It's like, I have that power, exactly. You know, we all have that power within us. It's, we have allowed our own power to be taken, you know, society up to this point, being a human, a lot of our power has been taken away from us. And I really hope that we can learn. And that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to sort of be a vehicle for just thinking out of the box, you know, just those tiny steps can make such a great impact in someone's life. And I'm just really grateful that you've spent this time with me. I know it takes months and months and months and months to get an appointment with you, Julie. And you are speaking with people around the world. And the fact that you take this time with me, I'm truly, truly grateful. Would you mind sharing how people can interact with you, how they can listen to you, how they can get involved with you? You can even learn how to do what you do as well through your courses. So can you share all of that with my listeners?
Sure. Everything's at AskJulieRyan.com. AskJulieRyan.com. My show is Ask Julie Ryan. It's every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's 2 hours. People call in from all over the world. They ask Julie Ryan. And we, like you said, Ashley, it's about this plethora of questions. And it's a blast. Did it last night? It's a blast. So call in. You can get it on YouTube. You can watch the recordings on YouTube, anywhere you download podcasts. If you want to talk to me for an hour private session, I am booked out a couple of months. The key is get on my calendar. Just go ahead and schedule whatever day is available. And then on your confirmation email, there will be a button that says reschedule. Click on that periodically, because people reschedule all the time, multiple times a week. And oftentimes you can get in within a day or two. I had somebody earlier this week that was scheduled out later in the spring, and he got in the next day after he checked. It happens multiple times every week. So consider doing that. My classes are 4 Saturdays online on Zoom, people from all over the world, and they learn how to do all the stuff that I do in 2 or 3 hours, 4 Saturdays in a row. And it also is so much fun, Ashley. And so the first part of the class is lecture and discussion. The second part is practicum. Right out of the chute, everybody's doing this work. They are talking to deceased loved ones. They're doing medical, intuitive, and energetic healings. They're doing past life stuff. They're being able to tell what phase of transition somebody's in. And they're amazed at how easy it is. So that's really a remarkable adventure for somebody if you're interested in this. And then I'm coming out, hopefully by the end of this month in February, I'm coming out with an online training that's going to be communicating with spirit and also the 12 phases of transition, how to be able to tell what phase of transition your loved one or whomever is in. And that's going to be self-paced online that you can do at your own speed. And it'll be fun and it'll be easy. And so I'm looking forward to releasing that. And I do have a gift for all of your listeners. May I tell them about that?
Please.
Okay. For any of you that are listening, I'm more than delighted to send a free copy of my books to you. All you have to do is just go to askjulieryan.com, click on the Ask Julie button, and put a note in there and say, hey, I heard you on Ashley's show, and I would love a copy of your book. And we will send you a digital and an audiobook version of Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens as We Transition from This Life to the Next. And then I have three children's books, which are Angel Messages for Kids, Angel Messages for Dogs, and the newest Angel Messages for Cats. So if you have kids or grandkids and you'd like one of those, mention that too, and we'll send you the digital version of that. So askjulieryan.com, the Ask Julie button, and just say, I heard you on Ashley's show, and I'd love a copy of your book, and we'll send it to you.
Oh,
and I
Julie,
hope you enjoy
it. Thank you so much. That is so kind of you. And I've read them and they're wonderful. And I'm just so, so grateful that you spent this time with me. Thank you. Thank you beyond. Thank you.
Thank you. Sending you lots of love from Sweet Home, Alabama in the Southeast U.S.
If you enjoyed today's episode of The Lilac, please reach out. I would love to hear from you. You can message me on Instagram and Facebook at The Lilac Podcast, or go to thelilacpodcast.com. Be brave enough to be vulnerable. Be vulnerable so you can find yourself. Find yourself and blossom unapologetically.